An international team of plant scientists have shown the potential to rapidly improve the quality of barley grain through a genetic tool. Joining me for a chat about it is joint senior author, Associate Professor Matthew Tucker. He's the Deputy Director of the Waite Research Institute at Adelaide Uni. Hi there, Matthew. How are you doing?
Good, Jenny. Thanks.
Now, tell us about this tool. It's called gene editing, right?
That's right, yeah. It's called gene editing. It's sometimes referred to as CRISPR. It's quite an interesting title. It's a relatively new molecular biology tool, and what it does is it allows us to specifically change regions of the DNA. And DNA is very important, obviously, for plants and animals. What's inside the DNA is something called genes, and, of course, the genes are what control the features of growth that we see. So you might have a plant, for example, that grows really tall, and you might have one that grows quite short, and the difference between those plants is pretty much the DNA sequence which is contained within those genes. So what we've been able to show, or what the various scientists have been able to show, is that this technique called gene editing allows you to change the sequence of the DNA of a gene and to make, for example, a plant that was tall, now make it short. It's got quite some potential to build on a lot of the knowledge we have about gene sequences and DNA that has been built up over a period of, say, 30 years.
All right. So what does that mean for barley production in SA?
Yeah, so barley's been a really important crop for SA for a number of years, with export value of effectively $600 to $800 million. And what we've been looking for many years, it's not just scientists, it's also breeders and agronomists, is ways that we can improve the value of our crop, also to improve its utility. So whether it's going to be suited for the malt industry, whether it's going to be suited for the animal feed industry. And there's also been a lot of research done in barley to try and understand the genes that might control those features. So what we'd like to think is that we have such good knowledge of barley now in terms of things that control height or yield or response to stress, that because we know that the genes that are underlying those particular features, we might be able to edit them to give us significant improvements. And this has been done in the study that we've recently published. We've been looking at one of the key features of barley grain quality. It's a complex sugar called beta-glucan. It's really rich in barley. And the industry wants high levels of it in animal feed, typically, but they want low levels of it for malting and brewing. And we've been able to show using this gene editing tool that we can edit the sequence of a gene that controls beta-glucan levels, and we can effectively remove it from the grain. We leave a little bit behind, just enough to make it still useful and plump and able to grow, but that might be a very useful tool for export markets that might desire low levels of beta-glucan in their grain.
Can this gene editing tool apply to different plants and crops as well?
Yeah, it doesn't just work in barley. It's been used in many crops, many agriculturally relevant crops, such as wheat, for example, canola. It's also been used in other systems, in animal systems, to show that it works very effectively there. And research that's come out of the Waite Research Institute, where I'm working, has shown that it can be quite effective in barley and in wheat. And that's the two most important crops for South Australia as far as exports are concerned. The technology that we've been trying with this gene editing, we've been able to test it directly in Australian varieties, which makes it much more relevant than some of the original work that was done predominantly in European varieties. So, it seems to be able to work in multiple species and multiple varieties of that species.
Associate Professor Matthew Tucker is with me from the University of Adelaide. What is the difference between gene editing and genetic modification?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, the GM discussion and debate is really topical at the moment in South Australia with the removal of the moratorium and the discussion of councils having to decide, or as of today, I believe, having to decide whether they're going to be GM-free or try to remain GM-free. So when we talk about genetic modification, the typical discussion involves technologies where we've introduced a gene from one species to another. And the examples of that are things like BT cotton. So this is cotton that's expressing a protein that is that stops the larvae of a particular moth from growing on that cotton, and hence it becomes resistant to that pest. There are other examples like high oleic acid safflower, which has been changed to make a particularly high level of oleic acid, which might be used as a substitute for the petroleum industry. Other examples which are in the research stage are things like drought-tolerant wheat, where a gene from one species that conveys drought tolerance has been moved into wheat, and it's shown that it can protect that plant from low levels of water. And so that's your traditional genetic modification. Gene editing is quite different. It really replicates what happens in nature. So I was talking about the examples before of when you have tall plants and short plants, and that difference is typically come from changes in the DNA which may have been induced by UV radiation or smoke or any sort of little change in the DNA. And this gene editing effectively replicates that, but it allows us to do it very precisely. Mm. It uses the natural plant machinery with an enzyme which creates a little change in the DNA, and the plant doesn't correct it, and it leaves that change there, and that's how we can select for it. So it's indistinguishable from natural mutation, natural genetic differences, and hence it's not considered GM technology, and it's been regulated. It's been put before federal government and parliament, and they've agreed that it's not a GM technology. Yeah, right. So there's quite some differences.
Right. So most Fleurieu Peninsula councils have decided to apply for GM-free status based on community sentiment, as you mentioned there. Do you think GM is misunderstood?
Well, look, you know, GM has been around for a long time now. And I totally understand the perspective of many of the different lobby groups involved here. Of course, we have agricultural groups who see the benefits. We have other groups such as the organic industry that have concerns that maybe may influence their organic status. There are other industries that are not quite sure. And you know, a lot of the problem comes from not really just going back and communicating with the scientists and the science behind it. And effectively, GM, if we look at it at a really basic level, is just shuffling DNA around. And this has been happening since time began. And it's not really an oversimplification, because if you look at the end product of GM, if you came into my lab and you said, rightio, here is a barley grain that's GM and a barley grain that's non-GM, you can't tell the difference. Nutritionally, you can't tell the difference. The way it performs at all in sort of the processing that we might use, it's not different. But, you know, that's really hard to get across, and I understand that there's a lot of passion about this and there's a lot of economic concern, but, you know, I guess the reality is, based on several of reviews, is that the state has been worse off as a case, as a result of not having GM crops in the ground. Mm. Now, this is something that will continue on, and it's clear that some councils are going to support getting GM crops in, and I think that's going to be very interesting to see how it goes. And there are others which perhaps they're not going to have GM, but I think we'll see the benefits from those areas that need it most, because they're the council areas that seem to be agreeing that we need to get this GM technology and make it available to our growers.
Well, Matthew Tucker, thank you so much for your time and expertise today.
Cheers. Thanks, Jenny.